As before, please give rise to the Mahayana ultimate motivation of bodhicitta. So we looked at the general explanation this morning of the actual aspiration prayer, and this afternoon we're starting with the next division. It's on page 29. Does everybody have a book? And there are four different sections to this detailed explanation. The section of the aspiration prayer that's related to the main practice, and the section that deals with the ultimate reality or emptiness, that which deals with a detailed explanation of the six paramitas, the six perfections, and the section that deals with the ultimate fruition.
Tele tambo chepa tsuwa tandreva malam ne parar sendruk zo jay ne rodruk semchen tarji yo. Ngoyen shi tobo ngoyen jay ne lame sancho rigyarche khi salasong.
The 12th verse, which belongs to this section on the of the aspiration prayer related to the main practice, says, having perfected the six paramitas, may I liberate the six families of sentient beings. Having actualized the six extraordinary faculties, may I reach unexcelled enlightenment.
Drupapo Rani Sanju Sambhatan Samarani Sanju Sambhatyoba Jamsu Tawan Dorotoba Paru Sindhokla Lapte Yonzo
So first we'll look at the commentary that deals with the first two lines of the aspiration prayer. Having perfected the six paramitas, may I liberate the six families of sentient beings. Having trained in and completely perfected the six paramitas. So first one trains in them, and through that training comes the complete perfection, the complete attainment of the various six paramitas. And these paramitas are seen to condense an ocean of the bodhisattva's practice. So a great infinite number of bodhisattva's practices are all condensed within the practice of the six paramitas or the six perfections. And once one has done that, then may I here then referring to the practitioner, the male and female bodhisattvas, may I further engage in the activity which through the six paramitas progressively brings all sentient beings comprised by the six families of beings into higher births and the level of realization. Or liberation.
The name Sancho Sambata Samananja Parad Samba Tokinam Sebati Ranga Tonta Mayimba, the name Rick Doku de Simchin Tamje Chedo Chedom Tonda Parad Samba Tokinam.
Male and female bodhisattvas do not only perfect the six paramitas for themselves, but also for the all sentient beings. Understood in this category, the six different kinds, or six different families of sentient beings.
Lami ngahi tok dong ngobar kheba tokpo nam tinen zengjin tu tinen zengjin thoda nopa la tene ngahi tok dong gobar nirang so le nintu ta rang sanja so rang sanje so le khepar dong papa cho to chorba jikti thamje je dong jikti thamje je dong lan drove ja cheba ta nirang so le khepar dong papa jun sen kar sa na dene jikti thamje je simje thamje je dong lan drove ja cheba ta tene par do se pa namba namba tan rab do ye ba dan che pa lan ju pe ni che ba dan ne ka pa ma yin ba ta ngambar nyambar jok pa bai ba la mu tu pe thok pa me ba dan dan ba ngun som do jin ne tha ni le me ne pe si ba de che pe tha ni le me ne pe lan ne me pe san jo ni nyo de re pa te thop par jor jok ba
Then comes the commentary on the last two lines of the root verse, having actualized the six extraordinary faculties, may I reach unexcelled enlightenment. So the first part of this commentary says, since due to the power of samadhi, they have the power to accomplish such benefit for self and others. So it's through this resting within samadhi, that one develops a power or a particular kind of energy. And because of that, they have these, so they develop these six extraordinary faculties. And that makes them more noble than the Shravakas, the Pratyeka Buddhas, and so forth. Extraordinary faculties is sometimes translated as higher perceptions or precognition, but as we'll see later, precognition doesn't really cover it all. So either extraordinary faculties or higher perceptions. And then follows the reasons why this type of practice is superior to the Shravakas and the Pratyeka Buddhas, and there are three reasons that are given. Since they benefit all universes, they are vast. So the power of this samadhi allows them to benefit beings in all the various worlds, and so it is a vast practice. And since they engage in manifold aspects, it means the activity has many different aspects to it, they are complete. They are very... nothing is left out. All the activities are covered. And since they do not depend on exertion in meditative equipoise, they are unimpeded or not blocked. They simply arise. And so then one prays, having actualized all these, may I swiftly reach and actually attain the unexcelled enlightenment that remains in neither extreme of samsaric existence or nirvanic peace. So here the term complete can also be understood as temporary. It's temporary meaning that they don't last for a long time.
Nunghi tok ne, ta nunghi tok jebar keba ne, rupa mudrapa na sopa tenpa ta. Namka la drova la sopa, zhumtur ngambar keba. Zhumtur di ngambar keba ta. Dra ke tamche, dra tam ke tamche, nyereng la matu par tuke. Nyewa ta rinwa me, nyereng la kebar me par tuke. Tung kowa la nabu ngambar keba ta. Paro je sem kheba, paro wa ma yin je sem kheba, so yin se ngwa bar kheba, yin je sem ngwa bar kheba ngwa kheba. Ngwa kanto cheba ne tang, ne kheba tang, lu tang. Tse tang le so kheba, Mm.
Then there is sort of like a footnote to the explanation here, which deals with what the six extraordinary faculties or higher perceptions are. And they are the following. The first one is the extraordinary faculty of being able to demonstrate or perform miracles, such as manifesting a great variety of emanations and flying in the sky, literally or walking in space. The second is the extraordinary faculty of the divine ear, or the celestial ear, which understands and hears all sound, all languages, regardless of distance. The third is the extraordinary faculty that operates in relation to someone else's mind, such as knowing what they're thinking and so forth. The fourth is the extraordinary faculty of remembering previous places, mainly the place where one was born, a previous birth, what one's body or lifespan and karma and so forth were. The fifth is the extraordinary faculty of the divine eye, and that's able to see future births and deaths. And the final one is the extraordinary faculty of being certain that what is defiled has come to an end, which knows that karma and afflictions have come to an end and will not arise again. The next section deals with ultimate reality or emptiness under the two forms of realizing the no-self within a person, or the non-self of a person, and the no-self of an individual. Excuse me, the no-self of phenomena. So the first one that's looked at is the no-self of the individual. So it's the first one is phenomena, of course. Usually it's taught in the reverse order, but here the no-self of phenomena is explained first, and you'll see in the commentary why. Future phenomena are not born, and those past will not occur. Present phenomena have no inherent nature. There is no actual location. There is no perception. There are no outer things. May I realize the Dharma Dhatu, which is empty.
Datar zongzhe ni ji de be se zongwe yo dang nang de be sim de zongzhe ni ji de be chu tam che de chu jin le dong le me de ba zhe nang ba xi yin de so ba de de dan da de sa de de zi de maung bu chu nam ne ma chi pa da で、別にね、もう上は世だ。だたって中だ。中なら人間まんじっぺ。人間まんじっぱって言いせな。たむぞばだ。たむぞばせちて、ひらっぴっけな。にやめば。またまけな。よばてんてばたぶよばら。ひらっぴっけな。てね、にてめばら。たむぞばせば。
대양
nang zimba sem dang, sem hibe zo semre, sem zong hibe sem zong ap yu tsak jine. Nang zimba sem dang, sem zong ka namrek manji khen. Namrek manji hibe sem dang, sem zong rang ka ngobu mato pa tenpa. Ngu manji hibe se zong yor zubra taro rikza namla, yor je yor namla, योर जो उंबो नम मांची पा, सरु जुगड़ा टरो रिजा नम मांची पाव रंगन ओ मारो पाते, थम जे चंग, तेता वो रंगन ओ मारो पीना, तने कुंजुक तो कंडे सुनाग रिसना थम जे चंग, ते तेता थम जे चंग, मेंजम, थानी तो मेंजम जेरे, मेंजम दातंग दातंग से जते दातकबा चंता, तकबा चंते Mengdang, mengdang, tani takwa zamde. Zamde, denba dropa maiba, denba dropa maiba, jumsi tini jisena, kunta dang, yewa nike tongbe, kunta namto ka takwa yor dang, yewa pakya ke, yewa kinji namto nike tongbe, kunta yewa nike tongbe, yonro te karle. Yodro chuyin jorwa meba, chuji yin jorwa meba, se jote, tene, tangbu nekab le jisun jorwa meba, tendawa, chuyin jorwa meba, te kona nyi ne, don tabi denba ne, ngon sum to togwa riko chikwa wo. Ya.
Namuchi, the talju, talju kowe pa kap, tene, chuchin de, Zungzin Nisu Duji Chu Tamche Chu Chen Dunla Mi Dempa Tulang Bashi Yinti Tene Jumsen Sum
Jumsen
La
Tambu Devan Rao Ma Jun Gan De
La So So in this way as it was refers back up to the root verse, all phenomena comprised by an outer perceived object and an inner perceiving subject are nothing but delusive appearances. But ultimately, they are not truly existent. Phenomena cannot withstand examination. And this withstand examination means that if you analyze phenomena with your prajna, with your native intelligence or with your superior knowledge, you won't find any existent thing. You find that it, you only think something exists if you haven't examined it, if you haven't analyzed it. Then it seems as if there's something out there. But if you analyze it with your prajna, examining it carefully, you won't find this truly existent thing. So that's why the commentary says phenomena cannot withstand examination. They can't hold up to examination. And why is that? Because future phenomena are not born. Past phenomena will not occur. They're already gone and done. And present phenomena have no inherent nature. So those are the three reasons why phenomena cannot stand up to examination, because in the three times you can't find them. Furthermore, the world, which is understood as being the vessel or the location, does not exist. So that refers back up to the root verse. We just looked at present phenomena have no inherent nature, and then it says there is no actual location. And what's being referred to by location there is the world understood as the vessel or the container for sentient beings who live there. So that does not exist. And then also, there is no perception. And that's again the root verse. And that refers to the inner perceiving mind or the principal mind, or the main mind. And in the commentary, it'd probably be better if you took the comma out here and put it after mental factors. would make it clearer. And then, so being, there being no perception refers to two aspects here, the main mind and the 51 mental factors. So these do not truly exist. And there are no things or outer perceived objects. All phenomena are just names. They are mere appellations or simply imputations. So outer perceived objects here refers to the objects of the perceiving mind and on the level of apparent reality, so forms and sounds and smells, taste and tangible objects. And they do not truly exist. They do not come into existence through having some kind of an essence that's always there. They possess no sort of self-essence that makes them what they are. They're mere names or mere verbal conventions. And this is what's referred to when we say that ultimately they don't exist, so that's looking at them from the ultimate perspective. If you look at them from the perspective of apparent or relative reality, they're just names, appellations, or imputations. There's something that conceptualizing mind has put out there, but they don't truly exist. And one makes then the aspiration, since things do not truly exist, may I directly realize reality. And reality here is understood as the unchanging Dharmadhatu, or the perfect nature. And the perfect nature is understood here to be empty of the imaginary and the dependent natures. This is the three-nature theory, which you've probably heard of before. And in the three-nature theory, there's the imaginary, dependent, and perfect natures. The imaginary nature is understood to be something that's projected by conceptualizing mind. And the dependent nature is what arises in dependence on our habitual patterns. It's something that it is the conceptualizing mind, as opposed to what the conceptualizing mind puts out there, that is the imaginary nature. And the perfect nature here, there are different ways of understanding the perfect nature, and here it's understood as being empty of these first two natures. So one can take the commentary and set up a reasoning with the first part of it, which would be the subject of the reasoning would be the perceived object and the perceived subject. So given both the perceived object and the perceiving subject, Rinpoche gave a longer version of it first and then a shorter version, so I'll just follow what he did. So, which is sort of the form in which all phenomena come, that is, from an ultimate perspective, these phenomena are not truly existent, and on the relative level, they are mere appearance, nothing but that. And what are the reasons for it? So that's the hypothesis that you're stating. And then the text gives three reasons why this is so. Future phenomena have not been born. Past phenomena have ceased. They're no longer with us and therefore will not arise. And present phenomena, all of them, whatever they might be, do not exist through having an inherent nature. So that's one way of explaining it. Then you can also just shorten it up and just say, given all phenomena that are comprised by perceived object and perceiving subject, ultimately they're not truly existent, and relatively they're mere appearance, because they, and then you just relate this to the three different times. In the past, phenomena are gone, the future have not come, and the present have no inherent nature. Then you can also give set up a reasoning to support the reasons. So this is a way of kind of chaining off one reason. You can continue developing it this way. And so we'll look then at these reasons that deal with the three times. So looking at the future first, given all future phenomena, they do not arise. Why is that? They don't arise from themselves, nor from something else, nor from a combination of themselves and something else, nor do they arise without a cause. So there are four reasons that are given for why future phenomena do not arise. So now, to look at the reasons, these four reasons again, to continue sort of opening the box. If we look at, take for example, suffering. Why is it that suffering would not arise from itself? Well, if suffering were to arise from itself, it means previous to that suffering, there would have to have been a suffering. So before suffering arose, it would have to arise. And that doesn't make any sense. So that reason doesn't stand. So the next one, we're working with a Madhyamika way of analyzing things here. And these are sometimes called the tetralemma, these four that we're looking at now, not from self, from other, from both, or from without a cause. It's a version of the tetralemma. So now to look at the second one, the suffering couldn't arise from something else. So if this essential nature of suffering itself were to come from something other than suffering, then suffering could arise from anything, because there's no connection with what is or what is not the cause for suffering. So you could have suffering arising from directly from bliss. So Rūcha dugnyo rāngjīngi trūpa
Drupa mara, drupa.
Drupa.
Dunga denpa drupa te, yo dendro le chena re kunya si yara.
Oh, that's all. Di yamsha sumra na, teni dendro ki re pinda si.
Dunga, dunga rengi je drupa te, yo rengi je drupa yin le chena, teni dunga je yo yinpa ta ma yinpa tham che le dunga che ba chung ya. Yo se kar yin yinpa drava sa chena. Tan de la ome lo le yin je ka pa la, teni rikpa mangbo iro, oman jukpa ta chun juk te so le, rikpa mangbo go kare. Tujik la lam sang do to go mare.
Naso.
Rikpa la, rikpa, rikpa la, rikpa mangbo go.
Rira.
Yina yang tangbo, dorju ji go go do.
Rira. So this kind of reasoning that we're working with here can be continued. It chains off itself. And one finds very long chains, if you look in texts such as the Madhyamakavatara or the Bodhichar, the Chunjuk, the entering into the Bodhisattva's path of practice and so forth. So what we're doing here is we're just taking a few of these and looking at them. So another reason why it can't arise from another is if this suffering were truly existent, and it were to arise from another cause, then also in that kind of context as well, suffering could then be said to come from anything. Its cause wouldn't be a specific one. It could be anything at all. So in this way, one works with different kinds of reasonings to look at this reasoning that it doesn't arise from something other than itself.
But then Dawatrapa Oman Jopale, Rangin to the joke, yin, and David Yin Jonah, Major Legion, me, Woolajan, Mabacha, Jeva Tagre. You think I yin, but some person.
May
Hakos on fire.
Oh, me?
Me. Major such as the main barber. Main bargain by the major cigarette.
Muscle.
Major Legion, Mabato Ponjo, one Jordan. You think I said, not yin, but some person.
May Barway.
Main barber, the mumba. Mele Mumba Chigi Marwa.
Mumba. They dewa do.
Mumba Mamanda Mumba.
Oh Mumba. Oh Rila.
Meti le
Mumba
Karva.
Rila
Karva Sumba.
Oh
that's okay. Yin yi kiawa chor yin yin yi kiawa chorna. Meti leja mumba topo chor Jose Yorvatar Yi but Sumba says.
That's all. So you find also in Chandrakirti's Madhyamakavatara that in Chandrakirti's Madhyamakavatara, the following reasoning that deals with why things can't arise from something other than themselves, it says, if that were possible, given just take the situation where that might be possible, then while fire is burning, so there's light there, there's a brightness, that could give rise to darkness.
Yeah. Yin Chena, Jo Yin de Gane, and Deva de Chia, Mangana Chela Soba, Repe Chena, Tene, Repe Chena, Gane Cheva, Tam Mangana Cheva, Tamjela Repenezi over the Chung.
Then there's also another line of reasoning here, which would say, well, if you might think, well, it arises from something else, but that cause then, maybe stops, you know, something arises and it ends and then something else comes from that. You might have that kind of thought. And then there is also another line of reasoning that would analyze, well, does the cause give rise to an effect or at the time it's present or when it is ceased? And looking at this, then also examining that kind of line of reasoning further, one will also come to what contradicts logic. And then the next step of the Tetralemma is easy because we've already proven that it doesn't come from itself and it doesn't come from something other to itself. And so if you put two insufficient reasonings together, it doesn't give you a sufficient reasoning, it just gives you both insufficiencies. So the second one where you might posit, well, it comes from some kind of combination of arising from self and other, that also does not stand up.
Tene yepa de jume le cheva re jume pa le cheva insana tene jume pa le chena ta do jikte ji chutan che yana ta do me pa tan yana ta do cheva tar jo yo re te jom chen kare jom ku be se na yana ta do che gre yana ta do me che be jo yo re.
And the last part of the tetralemma that says things can arise without any cause at all, that also has problems, because if you say that phenomena arise without a cause, then that means they could always be present or never be present. There would be no cause for their arising, so they would either be sort of there always or never be there. For example, this flower, if it had no cause, then it would be always born or never born. And therefore, through looking at these four, sometimes they're called the four extremes in Tibetan, Taji, one can say that the future phenomena ultimately do not arise. And on the level of apparent reality, they have what's called a mere appearance. They arise as mere appearance. And therefore, these phenomena that are arising on this relative level are seen to be like a dream, like an illusion, like the reflection of the moon in water, like an echo, or like a mirage. Past phenomena, this is the second part of that previous reasoning we were looking at the three times. Past phenomena then will not arise again. And why is that? Because they have already ceased. They have completely stopped. Their essential So the defining characteristics of a phenomena have ceased, and because that has ceased, they will not arise again. For example, a fire is hot and burning, and when that hot and burning has ceased, that hot and burning to which we give the name fire, when that has ceased, then fire will not arise again. Another example is the rainbows appearing in the sky. If there's a very clear sky and a rainbow appears within it, it's there for a while and then it dissolves. It's no longer there. It's possible that based on other causes and conditions, another different rainbow might arise, but that particular rainbow that appeared and dissolved will not arise again. So it's that type of event that's
referred to. gātsarvē tsākī sikpa tā tsortyayā yomārē pēnē kēngi mēn rāvī na kēchī tāmbō ngā nā nīpā tā nīpā ngā nā sūmpā tā wā yō na yāng gātsarvē tsākī sikpa kēchī tāmbō tā yāngchār tā wā mē bārē
Fire, that which is hot and burning, is arising with every instant. And once that instant is past, it's not going to come up again. For example, if you have wood that's burning, then the first second of its burning has come and gone, and the second second then arises, the second instant of that burning. And it's like that, the second and the third and the fourth, and so arise in succession, but that first moment of the burning of the fire will not come back again. One can also apply the same type of reasoning to suffering or to concepts. Suffering arises in an instant of time, and that first instant then dissolves, and the second instant arises. The same for a concept. It arises in the first second, dissolves, and then another concept arises. So there is a kind of continuity that's made by this arising and ceasing of instants. But it's a linear continuity. It goes in one direction so that the first instant of the suffering arises and ceases, the second instant arises, and that second instance is new. It's not that the first instance arises again, but there is a different second instant arising. And that you can also take it, for that you can take in as example the flow of a river or the seeming continual burning of a butter lamp.
Deba Maumba than Deba Nitenda in a Tatum of the Carre. Tatum of Bunde, take that to Mirror and Yin and Deba Senna. Tene, Matapan.
Then, when we come to this present phenomena, it's said that it does not exist through having some kind of an inherent nature. And the way one comes to understand that is working with a reasoning that looks at how a present thing or a present phenomena transcends having a nature that is a unit or one thing, a whole, or a nature that is many different things.
Tanda Jata Tonta Saya Mambu Saya Yere Jatonta Jata Ton Chahi Jatan Tonta Saya Lasso Bahia Sena, then he came the Travati, Trava Travati, Trava Mavare, Travate Madrobachare, Tisena, then it Tamaya Madrobare, Jig the Tamaran Gin in Debare. The Umelola, Jig the Tamaran Gin in Debate, Tinse, Chutam Tela, Repate Jarchaware.
The finger snap, one finger snap, for that length of that finger snap, then there might what there might be what one might consider a moment of suffering. So if one looks at that moment of suffering and says, well, is there one one whole unit, let's say, of suffering and the concept connected with it. And no, there's not, because you can analyze that one moment of suffering or that one concept of suffering into 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 parts. You find that it's not one whole thing. And when you do this process of analysis and you come down to an extremely, extremely subtle level, that moment ceases to exist. It is no longer existent. So in analyzing like that, one comes to understand the non-existence of phenomena, and this is called the reasoning of being beyond having a nature that is one or many. Of course, if it doesn't exist as one, it couldn't exist as many either, so that's sort of a foregone conclusion once you've established the first. And within the Madhyamaka tradition, this reasoning, this particular one of being beyond having a nature of being one or many things, is applied to all phenomena. It's applied to see that all phenomena have no essence that makes them one thing. The mind that perceives and the object that it perceives are also instantaneous. They don't stay. They arise and cease immediately. And this is like a video or a movie. There are many, many frames, and each frame is like an instance. And if that movie were about the history of one person and it lasted for an hour, one, during the time that one's looking at the movie itself, each instant is arising and ceasing. Each frame is flashing on the screen and disappearing. But our visual consciousness links these all together into one long stream. And so it's not our visual consciousness, it's our conceptualizing mind that links all these instants of visual consciousness into one whole hour that makes up a story. And not only that, after we've watched the video, we keep this idea of that person. It's even maintained within our minds beyond the time that it was appearing to our visual consciousness. So we have outer, inner, and outer. We have the inner mind and the outer object that are mixed together from the first instant of the video to the last instant of the video. And the mind that was literally holding those objects, it continues to hold that object even beyond the time of the actual movie or video itself.
Tini nyaya me pitan dare. Pena chen de nga chu nam do gung la den ba re sang gung do den ba na ki den ba ki ngi do ina ya den ba de kar re dan da ni mo dan ce mo se ni mo la ya ni mo zu ka de ro la re za la ya cha xie se ne tini chen de den ba de kar re do te no tini nyaya me ba re du tin sang ya nyaya me ba re ten da wo la
To look again at this idea of phenomena not being able to withstand examination, what does that mean? That means that if we examine and analyze phenomena, that we won't find anything. For example, for the conceptualizing mind that we have within this life, for conceptualizing mind, or from the perspective of conceptualizing mind, this life appears to be truly existent, and then we grasp onto it as being so. However, if we analyze, for example, taking the five objects that appear to us during our daytime existence, forms and sounds and smells and tastes and touch, if we analyze those into their parts and keep analyzing and asking ourselves, well, is this truly existent, or how does this exist? We'll find that there's nothing, actually. There's not even one particle, one of the smallest particles that you could smash things into that would be truly existent. But it seems to be truly existent for our conceptualizing mind. And this is like not recognizing that we're dreaming while we're dreaming. In that situation also, things appear to be truly existent, and we cling to them as such, but they're not so. So if we analyze well, then these phenomena will not be able to withstand our examination. It means that we will discover that they don't truly exist. In the root verse, it says there is no location, and in the commentary, it says there is no world or no vessel. And when it says there is no, what that means is that it's not truly existent. So if we analyze to find out, well, what is this planet? This is our location. No, we're located on planet Earth. So what is this? And if we divide this into its various parts, what would it be like? Because usually it's our conceptualizing mind that perceives the planet or the earth that we live on, and it clings to it as being truly existent. However, analyzing the different parts, we will come to see that there is no truly existent basis on which to apply the label planet. One can analyze the four different directions, the four intermediate directions, and the zenith and the nadir, and find that within those also there's nothing truly existent. You can divide again and again and again in that process of increasingly subtle analysis, and one comes to discover that the phenomena that we think of as the planet also cannot withstand examination, that when one really looks at it deeply, it turns out to be not truly existent. However, on the level of apparent reality, there is a mere gathering together of these various particles, and we can apply a name to that and conceptually work with it. But ultimately, this doesn't truly exist. The earth, with its four major and its four intermediate directions, and the top and the bottom, these are all a mere gathering together of various things. And another way of understanding that these various things that are gathered together are not truly existent is that if we look at these various directions, we can understand that they exist in dependence upon one another. You know there's north because there is east and west, and it's something that sort of comes between this east and west, and so it exists because of its dependence on the other directions. And the same thing for there's a zenith because there is a nadir, there's a top because there's a bottom, and so forth. But they, since they exist like this in dependence on one another, it means that ultimately they're not truly existent.
Ranga Savali Yabate Wari Sangudu, Tini Wali Yabateka Koransu Ting Risam, Naso Wari Sanguyere, Tin Ting Da O Mabare. Ting Da O Mabate Sarpo Yabareto, Tinagi, Tini Shata Nob the Lord, the Sante Soyan, Tanya Sare Mato, Meneng O Madabar. Mo Madum Nana Karana, Malam Dabrich. The Sanji Chutam, the Malam Dabrich.
It's especially interesting to work with this idea of above and below in relation to the planet, because people have this particular idea that wherever they are is on the top of the planet. That they're, if you're in the United States, you think, well, I'm on the top of the planet, and South America is down there, and it seems like the people down there are probably standing on their heads, or they're sort of, you know, their head is sort of falling off into space. And those, however, those people that are down there, they think, well, we're on top of the planet. And actually, no matter where you go, each person thinks that they are on top of the planet. And what's, you know, opposite them is below. So this shows you how relative this concept is. And that kind of relativity you can apply then to all the other directions. And if one steps back from this and says, well, then how should we in general understand this? Well, it means that all of these directions don't exist through taking on or through having some kind of an essence. They are mere appearance. They are like a dream. And the Buddha said, all phenomena are dreamlike.
Then Tene tu dembal madro pate, mene sarpo yobare.
If one also reflects on the question of time in relationship to this planet that where we are, this vessel or this world, this location, one can see that not only are directions mere imputations and not truly existent, but time is also not truly existent. For example, here it's getting close to 5 o'clock, so we think, well, it's daytime and it's 5 o'clock and that's real. But if you were in India or in Nepal, it would be early morning and dark for you. It would be around just the opposite. It would be nighttime and or the end of nighttime. So it happens that wherever a person is, that the time where they are is taken to be what's truly existent. What is around you at that particular place is what truly exists. But if one analyzes a situation, one comes to see that time is not truly existent. How could it be truly existent if there's one time here and another time there? If it were truly existent, it would have to be 5 o'clock daytime everywhere. So it's not that. And the Buddha therefore taught that time is equal, ultimately, from the perspective of the ultimate nature. The nature of the three times is that of an equal nature.
Tina demba demba se jete rang ka na dor tan la demba chimba re ma do tini sagong te sim chin thumong ka demba te ma do par ten ra ola tini nam ba lo la thumong ka ta sa demba ma do ba se te la she pa mang bo do zo pa mang bo ya.
So one takes to be truly existent whatever is the apparent reality that is around you. There's this term, the nangsul and the netsul. So the nangsul, how it is that things are appearing to you. Well, for almost all people, that is what is truly existent. This is also, since this is not true, if we analyze it, for example, looking at the directions or time, that is why Buddhism says that what is common, well, what is general is not truly existent. What it is that we think we see in front of us is not something that everybody sees. So there's nothing that is common. There's nothing that's truly existent. Just like there's no general time.
That's it. Kangba somba namri manji vu manji hibe. Se kangba tela. Tiseke tangbo namrik manji si jete. Namrik manji si jete sem tan sem ne songwa la namrik se bare. Sem tan sem ne songwa namrik mogu mato bare. Karre se na sem tan sem zon, depe sem tan sem zon ga sa bare tanda yo bare. Maun be sem tan sem zon maji bare tela yang tanda ngogu yo. Tatar je sem tan sem zon te kichik nipa la mne be se na ranga ngogu. Tine drop tan ni ga drop se na. Then the same thing, same song, when it dampened, oh, my God.
The root verse says also in the third line, there is no perception. And the commentary on that said, there is no mind, no main mind, and no mental factors. And Rinpoche commented on that here is there's no mind and there's. Whatever arises from it does not truly exist through having some kind of an essence. And how can one understand that? Well, the past mind has to exist in time, no? So this an instant of mind. When it's past, it's past. It's ceased, it won't arise again. The future instant of mind has not yet arisen, and this present instant of mind does not remain for a second instant. And the moment that it appears, in that very instant, it ceases.
Then the Nintu Zedra Mabalola, Shippa Kechik Chami, Shippa Kechik Tangbo Nyeba, the Jun the Kunzobre, Shippa Kechik Chashe Seja Mabe, Chashe Tani Seya Mabe, Kechik Chami Trava the Dembandabare.
That's
Jumchen Karasana, Hibakeji Jami Tela, Dene, Deba, Semji Yavate, Hiba Yavate, Kitchen Hasi Yegor, Dutinji Yavate, So Shalo Novzana Titi Yavate. Thy Hiba Kitchi Kamite, Gas and Bikibatan, Machi Bikiba Ni, Pata Nichamiti Yagore, Tichami Tela, Deba. Depa tang maumbala tupe cha yotame. Depa hipa tang maumbi hipa la tupe cha yona cha ni yavasena teni chame mare. Depa sem da maumbala tupe cha tani mina teni depa sem da maumba sem la matupe sena kejik cha hipa kejik chame son deva yomare deva mebe sena teni joe meba tarvijon yer. Tisena Hira de Chena, Hibakiji Chamin Hisawa, the Omelola Madrobat.
If we look a little bit further at this idea of an instant of mind, there are different ways of understanding it. The Vaibhashika school, which is one that belongs to the Shravakayana or the Hinayana, the foundational school, they, in talking about this instant of mind or an instant of consciousness, arises that when there is arising and a ceasing of it, that is considered to be what constitutes apparent reality, this arising and ceasing of consciousness. But they also posit an instant of consciousness that is partless or unable to be divided, and that they posit as ultimate reality. So apparent reality is this which is arising and ceasing and going along, but they posit ultimately a partless particle that truly exists. Of course, that true existence is a red flag for anybody of the Madhyamaka school, and they they analyze this true existence of this partless particle, and they say, well, it doesn't ultimately exist. And why is that? Well, if one looks at this partless particle of consciousness or mind, one has to look at it within the framework of time. So there would be either this present moment of mind would have to exist in relation to a past and a future particle. So one looks at the relationship between past moment of mind and the future moment of mind, and how they're related to each other, similar to the way we looked at directions being related to each other. So the question is then, between the mind that has ceased, that moment of mind that has ceased, and the moment of mind that will arise, is there some particle, some moment, some instant of mind? Well, if there were some kind of instant of mind that existed between the past and the future, that you would have two instants of mind existing at the same time. If it were related to the past moment of mind, you'd have the past and the present one together being two. Or if it were dependent on the future, then you would have the present and the future. You wouldn't have one, you'd have two together. So there would be no one single instant of mind at that moment. The other alternative is that this instant of mind between the present and the past and the future doesn't exist at all. But if that were true, then there would be no connection between the past and the future. There would be no continuity. And so that also is refuted.
Tanda zungze ni chitongbe semsarik tangje ranyong ke lembare deva ta dunga la soba kanyin yang yin je date mukupa rang ranyong yaba te rangri yinbar ke lembare ten oma belo la tanyi tando ranyong ke lemba yona yang ten babu ranyong te la hirab je che na tene chik ta tome rang yin len deva se na rangri yang tapar mato pare
Yang If one moves up to the next school, which is the Chinamatra school, the mind-only school, then they posit a self-awareness that truly exists. It is the mere appearance of a clarity, a knowingness. And they posit it because they say, well, no one has to tell you that you're suffering, or no one has to tell you that you're happy. Your own mind is able to know that of itself, and that kind of knowingness is called awareness or self-awareness. The ability to know your own experience, to be able to experience yourself. And they posit this to be truly existent. And again, the Madhyamakas come along and say, that's not so. They will accept this on a conventional level, that there is a possibility of self-experience or self-awareness. But they say if one analyzes that moment with one's prajna, one will come to see that that moment transcends being one thing or many things. So they say that self-awareness ultimately, or from the point of view of ultimate reality, does not exist.
Tene ta tse kamba sumbe seke ngwe manji, tsaba ngwe manji se jitere. Dewa se zomu yor ju ngobo nam jang manji te so. Ki sumbe siru ju zugra taro rinza nam jang, nam do gongo tani tsamda nang zangdo malam dawa yu na yang. Tene ki trema mebe hirab di che na ranga ngobo mado pe se na tene ngopo machi sumpa zhukra taro rizha nam na ngopo tenpa trabaya.
And then the root verse says things do not exist. And how is it that things do not exist? The non-existent of things refers to outer perceived objects, so form, sound, smells, tastes, and tactile objects. And these exist from the perspective of conceptualizing mind as a mere conventional reality, like a dream. But if one analyzes a situation with stainless or flawless prajna, one will see that they do not take on existence through having some kind of a self essence.
Tetari no tatani de yotso de karas no tamje jam ming jam tamje de ming jam re da jam re tokbe takpa jam de dele ume lo la ming jam ta yu jam se de ming jam da ta yu se je de tokbe takpa jam de yo ba nam do ge yo de yo ba Malam tapi siapa? Tapi malam tu nama kandai di sana yang malam ngom masih berkapsa ni mana ini? Mana mengsan dah tukar tan yang bahak kau yang mana dembar esabar mato? Mana tada ngasu ni mi kapsa sana tana malam je nama tu so mengsan je tak tukar takpa tan je le mato? Tapi dahye madro pade? Dahye madro pade yang besar nama mengsan tayu kan? Pena May now I can make him the main Santan. May San Nando Tapa Tare Mato Nando Tapa Yotela, when it's hacking super, the team out of it is a number young Tayo Santa. Pete Yendo, then Chutam the main Santan. Nando Tapa Tare Mato, young Tapa Denver Mato. Young Tapa Denver Mato Tati, Tato Badakara, Tumani.
So the way things appear, their sort of their mode of existing, is as mere conventions, or the commentary says as mere words, mere appellations, mere symbols, and so forth. They are merely imputed by the conceptualizing mind. And in the Madhyamaka, they're referred to as being Mingzang Tayu, So they are objects that are mere names or imputed. Or you could say they're mere names or imputed objects. And which is another way of saying that they exist for conceptualizing mind. In the same way that within a dream, there are various things that appear within a dream, but if we don't analyze it and don't realize that we're dreaming, we think they're truly existent. It's just like the daytime for us, when we take whatever appears to us in our daytime existence as being real in some way. However, if we think about during the day, if we think about a dream that we had last night, of course we realize that that last night's dream is not truly existent, that what appeared in that dream we had last night was a mere imputation, was our mind, our conceptualizing mind projecting all these images for us, and that these had no real basis of imputation. If we dreamed of a table, there was no atom, true atom of table around. There was no, or if we dreamed of a fire, there was no real hot and burning around. It was all fabricated by our conceptualizing mind. And so all phenomena are to be understood like that, that they are mere names, that they are imputed or designated by conceptualizing mind, but that ultimately, or on the level of a reality, they don't truly exist. So what is it that they are? Well, they are empty. They are empty phenomena. If one makes a reasoning on the basis of the commentary, one can say, given all inner and outer phenomena, they are mere names, mere imputations. And why is that? Why can one say that about them? Because ultimately they don't exist. And what would be an example that would support this line of reasoning? The dream. The last line of the root verse says, may I realize the Dharmata, which is empty. So, the Dharmata is empty. Well, if it's empty, what's it empty of? It's empty of the objects projected by conceptualizing mind, which is another way of saying it is empty of the imagined nature. Imagine, because the imagined nature is understood as that which is projected or put up by conceptualizing mind. And it's also empty of the dependent nature. The dependent nature which arises through the power of our habitual patterns or our mental imprints. What is it that is empty of these two natures? Well, in the root verse it's the Dharmadhatu. A synonym for the Dharmadhatu, or sometimes it's translated into English as the expanse of all phenomena or the expanse of all events, that is the perfect nature. And this perfect nature, the Tibetan is Yongsu Drup. So Drup means to exist, so sometimes it's translated as the perfectly existent nature. And the perfect here means that it's not contrived, that it's not artificial in any way, that it is spontaneously present. So these are all more or less synonyms with a little bit of a different flavor, the perfect nature or the Dharmadhatu. And these are the Dharmadhatu, which is unchanging. And so one makes the prayer that one realize reality, the Dharmadhatu, the perfect nature, and that when one does that, when one directly and actually realizes it, then all of one's delusions, all of one's confusion is extinguished. So that has been a brief explanation of the prayer, the part of the prayer that deals with no self in phenomena. So when you're meditating on emptiness, this is a good verse to chant.
Majibadam
Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majibadam Majib